I'm going to do some two things in the scripture reading that I almost never do. I'm going to read from the King James Version. I'm only going to read one verse. Hear now this reading from Matthew chapter 5. You also notice I'm losing my voice, so it's just all kinds of great things. From chapter 5, verse 9 of Matthew. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. We'll read that one more time. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called children of God. Also want to do a short reading from a book entitled Howard Zinn Speaks, Collected Speeches 1963 through 2009, in which he says, there is no flag large enough to cover the shame of killing innocent people. You cannot justify the mass killing of people by simply calling them the enemy. They are human beings. They have children. They have hopes. They have names and dreams and families. When governments wage war, they turn living, breathing human beings into an abstraction on a map. And once they are abstractions, it becomes easier to destroy them. But if we refuse that abstraction and insist on seeing their humanity, war becomes impossible to defend.
Hello, hello. I just found this song yesterday. It's been reported a lot by different people, written in 1970 by Black Sabbath. The best version of it is by a band called Cake, who did a cover of this, recorded really good version of it in 2007. Just last year, the band Judas Priest, and these are bands that I don't spend any time listening to, by the way, Judas Priest did a charity performance of this song last year. Some country artists have done versions of this song since 1970. It's been meaningful talking about this issue. I never heard it until yesterday. So, without being a heavy metal band, let's just see what I can do with an organ and a clavinet later. Jewels gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the field our bodies burning, as the war machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to man's politicians hide themselves away. They only started the war. Why should they go out to fight? Lay that all to the floor, yeah. Tell on their power mind, making war just for fun. people just like pawns in chess, waiting till their judgment day comes. Yeah. Now, if darkness world stops turning, ashes where the body's burning, no more war pigs have the power, hand of God has struck the hour. Day of judgment, God is calling. On their knees, the war pigs crawling, begging mercies for their sins. Satan laughing, spread his wings. Oh, Lord, yeah.
My message this morning is entitled, Blessed Are the Peacemakers, a Sermon for a Nation at War. There are Sundays when the scripture reading just sort of slips by quietly. There are Sundays like this one, when a single line from Jesus feels like it just keeps ringing in our ears. Blessed are the peacemakers, they shall be called children of God. He did not say blessed are the peacekeepers. He did not say blessed are the ones who keep everyone calm so the powerful stay comfortable. He said peacemakers. People who roll up their sleeves and step towards the hurt and not away from it. See, peacekeeping avoids conflict. Peacemaking deals with conflict by transforming it. Peacekeeping placates. Peacemaking challenges. Peacekeeping wants things quiet. Peacemaking wants justice. And I will tell you the truth. With everything happening in the world this week, those words do not feel theoretical to me. They feel urgent. So while we sit together, our nation has taken a devastating step. The president ordered an unprovoked military attack, not diplomacy, not a last attempt at a negotiation, not a measured response to a defined threat, a strike that lights the fuse of war and does it in our name. This is exactly the moment when the church is called to speak plainly. Not to score political points, not to stir up fear, but to tell the truth as people who follow Jesus. War is not peace. Violence is not security. And God does not rubber stamp the ambitions of leaders who gamble with human lives. I tell you what, I want you to turn to someone, just be quick and easy and simple. Turn to someone, look them in the eyes, and simply say, peace begins with how we see one another. Peace begins with how we see one another. And that might feel a bit small. It might feel a bit small just saying that, but that sentence is the root of everything that Jesus teaches us about peace. It begins with how we see each other. Now turn to someone else, look them in the eye and mean it. Peace begins with how we see each other. Peace be with you.
I want to see you.
Yes,
peace.
Yes,
peace.
When Jesus blessed the peacemakers in our scripture today, he was speaking to people who lived under the boot of the Roman Empire. And Rome loved to talk about peace. They did. They called it Pax Romana, a peace created with swords and maintained by fear. A peace where the wealthy slept well and everyone else slept lightly. Peace enforced, not a peace embraced. And when peace is enforced, it's never a real peace. It's silence. It's compliance. It's survival. It's not flourishing. So, when a nation launches a war without clear reasoning, it draws from that same script. It hides behind language of protection while placing the burden of suffering on those with the least political power. Soldiers who grew up in our very own neighborhoods will be sent into harm's way. Some will come home with wounds. Some will come home with wounds that we cannot see. Some will not come home at all. Families will be handed folded flags of leaders appear on morning shows. We will be called to call it sacrifice. But let's be honest here. There is nothing noble about sending young adults to die for a cause that cannot be clearly articulated. There is nothing honorable about ordering violence from a safe distance. And there is nothing patriotic about wasting lives to serve the vanity of powerful men. And yes, let us say aloud what is true under our Constitution. A president cannot take a country into war without congressional approval. This requirement is not symbolic. It is the law. And when a leader chooses to bypass it, that decision is illegal. It disrespects the people's representatives, and it endangers the people's children. Naming that is not partisan. Let no one tell you it is. It's simply responsible, it is moral, and it is necessary. But the moral stakes go even deeper. Christians do not only care about American lives. We cannot ignore the innocent people in Iran whose homes will be reduced to rubble, whose children will be terrified and sometimes killed, whose futures will be rewritten by violence that they did not choose. If we're going to claim to follow the teachings of Jesus, then we cannot pretend like their lives carry any less worth than our very own lives. War kills the very people that Jesus commands us to love. And somehow the bill for that devastation always lands in the lap of the poor and of the powerless. The rich rarely send their own children. The powerful rarely lose their own homes. The ones who profit from war almost never pay its price. And let us tell the truth about this without backing off, Andy. This is not about party loyalty. This is about human dignity. People sometimes hear peacemaker and picture someone meek and quiet. But peacemaking is gritty work. It asks us to refuse easy narratives. It forces us to imagine alternatives that do not rely on dominating someone else. It requires a kind of courage that violence pretends to have but never truly possesses. See, peacemakers ask better questions. questions. Peacemakers refuse to demonize entire nations. Peacemakers choose the long path of healing over the short thrill of revenge. Peacemakers tell uncomfortable truths for the sake of a better future. Peace is not the absence of conflict. Peace is the presence of justice. And if justice is missing, peace is just a mask. It's power cosplaying as righteousness. We're going to take another minute, turn to two or three people around you and take a couple of minutes to answer this question. What does real peacemaking look like in this moment? What does real peacemaking look like in this moment to you? It doesn't have to be big. It can be small. But what does it look like? Have honest discussions. Let each person speak. Listen with your whole attention as they do. And let compassion rule the conversation. Take a few minutes to yourself.
Love those practices.
Start wrapping it up. Okay, let's gather back together here. Let's gather back together. So fear is the fuel that keeps war burning. Fear is the fuel that keeps war burning. Leaders learn to use fear like a tool, the cause of it. They say that violence is the only language that our enemies can understand. They say urgency demands obedience. They say safety requires silence. But you must keep in mind, fear never delivers the truth either. Fear delivers whatever keeps violence alive. Fear delivers whatever keeps violence alive. Jesus does not call us to live from a place of fear. Jesus calls us to live from a place of love. And love is not weak. Love stands up. Love protects the vulnerable. Love tells the truth even when it is costly to do so. See, love Love refuses to turn human beings into someone else's political strategy. If the church cannot name that on a weekend like this, then we have to ask the question, what exactly are we here for anyway? So what do? None of us can reroute missiles. We can't rewrite the orders. We can't resurrect the dead. But we can, with our voices and our choices, refuse to bless what Jesus never blessed. We can refuse to let violence set the terms of our imaginations, and we can refuse to let fear shape our faith. See, we can become a community that invests in life, that builds each other up when the world is tearing people down, that practices the kind of peacemaking that Jesus meant, the kind that risk love in the face of danger and hope and faith and risk hope in the face of despair. We can speak out. We can stand up. We can make sure our voices are heard. Blessed are the peacemakers, not the peacekeepers, not the war makers, not the ones who stay quiet because speaking is uncomfortable. The peacemakers, the people who insist that every life matters, the people who understand that violence never brings the world that we want along, the people who know that real peace requires real justice. May we be counted among them, and may our courage speak louder than the drums of war. Amen. Thank you. Let's bow our heads together. We come into this prayer carrying more weight than we know how to name. The world feels unsteady and the news keeps pressing on the tender parts of our hearts. Some of us are angry. Some of us are afraid. Some of us are numb in a way that surprises us. All of us are trying to make sense of a war that began without our consent, yet unfolds in our name. May we be reminded that every life touched by violence is a world unto itself, a parent, a child, a dream in motion, a future trying to unfold. May we be moved to hold in our hearts the families in Iran who woke to fear instead of morning light. And to the families here who are now waiting for calls they hoped would never come. Let us continue to learn that peacemaking is not the quiet avoidance of conflict, but the steady, courageous work of choosing love when fear comes calling. May we be open to see the humanity in those who are told to fear. Who we are told to fear. May we learn to recognize the image of the sacred in people whose names we do not know in places we may never see. And when our leaders speak too easily of strikes and strategies, may we hear beneath their words the muffled cries of those who will live with the consequences. And may that heartbreak shape our prayers and guide our voices and guide us in the world. May we choose compassion over the convenience of silence. May we choose truth over the comfort of denial. May we choose peace, not as a theory, but as a practice that bends our lives towards justice. And in that fragile moment when fear tries to claim the final word, may we remember that love has always been the better storyteller. Let us hold on to the work of peace with hands gentle enough to steady us, but strong enough to transform us. Amen. We see this blessing. May you walk in harmony with each other and with creation, recognizing that we are one. And may you know love and happiness throughout your life. And may you share that love and happiness with all of those you meet.